In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Super Tuesday, March 1st, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. 595 delegates on the block today for the Republican nomination. Ted Cruz was campaigning for 155 delegates in Texas on Monday. Family Research Council leader Tony Perkins is doubling down on his support for Ted Cruz. He says rumors indicating a shift of support to Marco Rubio among evangelical leaders are false. Meanwhile, Hobby Lobby's David Green announced he's supporting Marco Rubio. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama is endorsing Donald Trump. He said he hopes Trump can fix illegal immigration. Liberal magazines like Salon are rooting for Trump as well in the primaries for two reasons. He's softer on socialism, and he'll be an easier beat for a Democrat in November. Colorado Right to Life issued a statement encouraging votes for non-establishment candidates that will commit to defund Planned Parenthood. The pro-life group pointed out that George W. Bush funded Planned Parenthood with $1 billion more than Bill Clinton did during his 8-year administration. You shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, Exodus 18. Take a public stand for righteousness and you'll get persecuted for it. Felix Nagole supported Kim Davis's stand on his Facebook account, complete with a scripture verse, and now he's been expelled from his college. Nagole was pursuing a master's degree in social work. The university says the student's views on homosexuality would affect, quote, his ability to carry out a role as a social worker, unquote. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5. A University of Virginia student has been detained in North Korea for 2 months and was filmed making profuse confessions and apologies to the North Korean government. Otto Frederick Warmbier is accused of dislodging a political sign in a Pyongyang hotel, according to reports from CNN. The Supreme Court will hear arguments on the appeal for the Texas abortion law tomorrow. With Justice Scalia's death, now pro-life advocates expect a 5-3 decision if Justice Kennedy upholds the pro-abortion position. Otherwise, if Kennedy takes the pro-life position, the case returns next year for a rehearing. Justice Kennedy has gone both ways on abortion rulings since 1992. Best Picture in the 2016 Academy Awards was given to the film Spotlight, a drama that exposes the pedophilia scandal in the Roman Catholic Church. Also winning awards were The Revenant, Room, Mad Max Fury Road, and The Danish Girl, all R-rated movies that highlight rape, child abuse, sexual slavery, and transgenderism. The Kendricks film War Room did not have a prayer at the Academies. The film Risen on the Resurrection of Christ was not mentioned either, but it is still holding at number 4 in the box office in its second week. Another school shooting yesterday, this time in Ohio, north of Cincinnati. The 14-year-old suspect burst into the cafeteria, firing off his .380 caliber pistol. 4 students were wounded in the rampage. The suspect attempted an escape, but a canine unit ran him down in a nearby field. You can expect gas prices to rise. Oil is up 30% over the last 11 days. The Dow dropped 123 points yesterday to finish February slightly up for the month. And Breitbart points out that college loans now exceed a third of U.S. assets. The 2014 to 2015 school year witnessed another 10% increase in student loans. Americans are still nervous about self-driving cars, and this is not helping. On February 14th, Google's self-driving car misjudged the speed of an oncoming bus, colliding into the side of the bus. The collision only resulted in minor damage to the car, and by the mercy of God, no one was injured. On Monday morning, a Navy SEAL, Edward Byers, received the Congressional Medal of Honor for his role in an Afghanistan hostage rescue in 2012. Byers saved the lives of several of his SEAL team while throwing his body over the hostage Dr. Dilip Joseph to shield him from enemy fire. Dr. Joseph told CNN Byers was more than worthy of the reward and credits the SEAL with giving him a second chance in life. There's another example of the principle Jesus Christ gave to us when he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend." And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, March 1st in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we broadcast from my basement in the Eastern Plains of Colorado and talking to the issue of creation and the flood of this edition of the program. And this is an important topic. It has many implications to our situation today as man has increasingly denied the existence of God, God's work of creation, and the worldwide flood. Man is less and less interested in God's involvement in his life. And the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to remind people that God exists. We have broken his law. We're sinners, and we need a redeemer in Jesus Christ. But if you undermine the basis for that redemption, friends, as our schools have done for a long time, our institutions have more and more ignored God's existence, God's judgment, God's interest in this world, and God's redemption, the gospel becomes less and less relevant to the entire world, certainly our nation and the Western world. And that's why Answers in Genesis has been so crucial to bringing back the foundational, the fundamental building blocks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the message of creation, the message of the flood, and the importance of man repenting and turning back to God in repentance and faith as Jesus Christ has come and saved us from our sins. So that's the gospel message, and a real important aspect of this evangelism comes by way of this reminder of God's work of creation. And today, once again, Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, joins me on the Generations Radio broadcast, and we want to talk about their new project, The Ark, coming in just about 4 to 5 months. Ken, welcome back to the Generations broadcast.
Hi, great to be with you, Kevin.
I'm so excited about this ARC. And by the way, we're doing a conference in August, directly after the ARC opens, so that our constituents can come and enjoy this gigantic creation that you've brought about as part of the Answers in Genesis ministry. But talk to us a little bit about this new project.
Well, we've been looking at how we could reach more people with the truth of God's word and the gospel. I mean, when you look at the world today, and we look at our culture today, I mean, you can almost describe it like God described the culture of the day to Noah in Genesis 6. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of his thoughts of heart were only evil continually. I mean, that's what we're seeing around us. And we realize that this nation and the world needs a reminder of the truth of God's word and the gospel. And yeah, we built the Creation Museum and opened it in 2007, and we've had 2.5 million people come through that. But we were talking about what can we do as a next step to reach even more people, and we came up with the idea of what about building a life-size ark? I mean, an authentic replica of Noah's ark, a true timber frame structure based on the dimensions in the Bible. And we did some research because Noah's ark is known around the world, and that's true. Even the secular world admits that people are very familiar with Noah's Ark and the flood, and there are flood legends all around the world. And so we did some research with America's Research Group. If we built a Noah's Ark, would people come to it? And it came back and said, well, around 2 million people a year would come if you built a life-size Ark. And so we set out to do that. And another reason being, too, that other than the cross, you know, the cross is the greatest reminder or symbol of the message of salvation. Other than the cross, I really believe Noah's Ark is the greatest reminder of the message of salvation, because Noah and his family had to go through a door to be saved. God's Son steps into history and says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. So Noah's Ark is a picture of Jesus. That door, that one door that Noah put in the side, we remember there's only one door to heaven, only one way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible way to impact the world. And so we set out to do this, and it'll be opened on July 7 this year, and it's going to be the biggest timber framed structure in the world. Timber frame structure means it's using heavy timbers, mortise and tenon joints. For instance, the big logs or lodge poles in down through the center of this structure, there's about 70 of them. They're estimated to be anywhere upwards of a couple of hundred years old. They're from beetle-infested forests, these big old trees that were killed by beetles, harvested under forestry license. There's 3.1 million board feet of timber in this, 510 feet long. That's about 1.5 times the length of a football field, about half the width of a football field, 51 feet high, but we built it 15 feet off the ground. And so it stands from ground level to roof level about 8 stories high. In fact, the bow, the top of the bow, stands 10 stories high. Massive structure, and inside it, 132 exhibit bays filled with world-class exhibits that I've never seen anywhere else in the world. I've visited some of the best museums in the world. I've never seen anything like this. We have a team of sculptors, fabricators, designers, artists, others who are working on these exhibits on the life of Noah and teaching exhibits to get people to understand the Bible really is true and the gospel is true. It's a world-class attraction. I've even had non-Christians from the entertainment world down there who are involved in some of the biggest entertainment places in America took one look at it and said, this is a world-class attraction. You're going to get up to 2 million people a year. Wouldn't surprise me. This is incredible. Even with its Christian message, you're going to reach a lot of people. And this opens on July 7th. And actually, it's really exhibits within an exhibit within an exhibit. People just standing there when they see the size of the ark. I've had non-Christians with me too that have said, you know, I've often thought Noah's Ark couldn't be true because how could you fit the animals on board? But when you stand here and look at the size of this ship, they said, wow. And then I talked to them about he only needed kinds, not species. We're going to have exhibits like that in the Ark. And they actually start to listen that, wow, maybe this is true. So this is going to be a world-class evangelistic art that I believe is going to be one of the greatest Christian outreaches of our era of history. The media have been so interested in this. When it opens, it's going to get media coverage around the world. Yeah. It already has had. And what a great opportunity that your convention people have of attending this in August.
That's hugely encouraging, Ken, to know that during this period of time in which Christianity is somewhat at a crisis in the Western world, there's still this great opportunity for an apologetic outreach, an evangelistic outreach, and a rooting and grounding, a strengthening of God's people. And I guess I'd like to encourage Christian families to be a part of this as well, because not only is this a great evangelical tool, but it's great to equip and to root and ground our children in a right view of history, a right view of God, of God's word, and a right view of epistemology as we debate with the world and the way the world is looking at science and history.
And you know what, Kevin, as well as that, it really is, hopefully, a great encouragement to people in the sense of emboldening them. Because, you know, even with the Creation Museum, I've had many people here, even pastors, who said, this has emboldened me, the fact that you're prepared to stand publicly and say these things. And, you know, I've had people say to me in recent times, oh, look how bad the world is getting. Look what's happening in America, the gay marriage issue, the abortion issue. Look what's going on here. And I've had some people even say to me, you know, it's so depressing. It just feels like giving up. What can we do? It's so overwhelming. We can't really do much. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in the New Testament when he talked about, you know, the parable of the 10 minas. And he said he entrusted these resources to people and he said, do business till I come. And so when people say to me, don't you get depressed about what's going on when you see the culture in America, the Western world collapsing from a Christian perspective? And I say, you know what? God's word tells me to do business till he comes. You know what that means? I'm going to do my best to go out there and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to defend the Christian faith. I'm going to do my best to reach as many people as I can. And how are we going to do that? Well, let's build a creation museum. What else can we do? Well, let's build an ark. Let's do these things to reach people, to impact them. And even with the ark, we've been working with our marketing agents. We're going to go out and engage the world. We're going to be at the Kentucky Derby, for instance. We're going to have ads on television associated with programs like The View or The Today Show or whatever it is. We're going out there. We don't compromise our message, but we're letting these people know, hey, this is here. It's an incredible structure for you to come to. A lot of non-Christians, you couldn't blow them into church with a stick of dynamite, but you know what? You can get them to an ark. Even non-Christians are interested in the ark. That's what our research showed. A lot of non-Christian, even non-Christian families, the research indicated they want family-friendly places for their children because even they are concerned about their children. And so what an impact that this can be. And it needs, you know, we need to be shining a light in the darkness. That's what we're to be on about. Don't hide our light under a bushel. And so we're trying to shine that light as bright as we can.
Well, there is no bushel there in Kentucky with that gigantic arc. You can't hide that thing under anything. That's a life-size arc, my friends, in Kentucky. And I want you to tell the story, Ken, of how God has gone before you in Kentucky. The state was pushing back on the museum, and yet God has gone before you and won the victory in many cases.
You know, one of the things that we've been concerned about in this nation is we see the increasing anti-Christian emphasis in this nation, Christians being intimidated by the world, this whole so-called separation of church and state issue and what's been going on there in regard to eliminating Christian things, Christian reminders from the culture and so on. Well, when it came to building this life-size ark, one of the reasons that we chose Northern Kentucky, now obviously the museum is here, but we're in the tri-state area, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, and so we look for land in all three states. But the interesting thing is, in Kentucky, they have a tourism tax incentive program. This is a facially neutral program, so there's nothing tied to it about your message or anything like that. The government says if you have an economic impact, if you build a tourist facility that brings money into the culture, that brings jobs into the culture, you have a net positive impact, and you have to be approved by a group that then comes and checks all that out for you. So these are consultants that have to do research to make sure this is so. Then they'll give you a tax incentive. The tax incentive is once you open, then the sales tax you charge within your facility, you're given a rebate on that, a certain percentage of it, over 10 years up to a certain maximum. So it's all performance-based because obviously it's bringing all this money into the state. Well, the consultants for the government approved us to get that tax incentive, and we were then going to the tourism board with its approval to get the final rubber stamp on that. And the then governor of Kentucky, we have a new governor now, but the then governor and the then secretary of tourism, we have a new one now as well, they put a stop to it and said, no, you're not allowed to get this because you're a religious organization. They actually said in a letter, and because you're going to be preaching about Jesus and you want religious preference in hiring. And we didn't roll over. We believed, look, if we don't stand up for what's right here, if we don't stand up for our Christian freedom, the free exercise of religion, for the law as exists in this country, then we're going to lose more and more freedoms. And we decided to take the state of Kentucky to court primarily over a religious freedom issue, not primarily over the tax incentive issue. We took the state of Kentucky to court, and the federal judge just ruled recently. It's interesting. When we took them to court, we said, number one, the First Amendment, it gives us free exercise of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. You can't deny us a facially neutral program that's offered to everybody else. The Bourbon Distillery Museum, the Speedway, Kentucky Kingdom, you know, theme parks and so on got this incentive, but we're not allowed to because we're Christian. You can't do that. That's discrimination. We're allowed the free exercise of religion. Christians aren't second-class citizens. So the First Amendment issue, and then Title VII of the Civil Rights Act gives an exemption to any organization, it's a religious organization, that you can have preference in hiring to hire people who have the same beliefs as you. And we said, here's what Title VII says of the Civil Rights Act. Well, a federal judge just ruled in Kentucky not that long ago, and 71-page ruling, very detailed, and said, number one, the First Amendment says free exercise of religion, and he ruled totally in our favor on that, and ruled totally in our favor on the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, and said they're a religious organization, they have a right to have religious preference in hiring, and you can't deny them an incentive you're giving to anyone else just because they're Christian. And so this was a tremendous victory for freedom of religion, free exercise of religion, and for religious organizations having religious preference in hiring. And we praise the Lord for that. And now we have a new governor who actually gives testimony to being a Christian and who stands up for free exercise of religion in this state.
Amen. What a breakthrough. Shows you that God's sovereign. God is going before you with this project, and he's opening the way for this thing to open in early July. Friends, it's the Ark, just near the Creation Museum in Kentucky. You know, do you think that the flood itself in this Ark has something of a prophetic message, Ken, to the nation today? Does this world remind you of the pre-flood world where they were saying in 2 Peter 3, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water, in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Heads up, God judges. Do you think we have a message to give to our world as the flood was a message to the old world?
Well, it's interesting. We've had many people say to us they really believe this ark is being built at a strategic time.
Yeah.
And when you look at 2 Peter 3 there, it talks about the last days, and of course we've been in the last days ever since God's Son stepped into history with Jesus Christ, yeah, the God-man. So we're in the last days. We, yeah, just don't know how last we are. We just know we're more last than we were, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't know where we are in history. But it says there's going to be scoffers.
Yeah.
And the scoffers are going to have this underlying philosophy. Things just go on and on and on. And, of course, that is the philosophy of the age. Things are going on for millions of years. And they're going to reject creation. They're going to reject the flood. And they're going to reject coming judgment. And that's exactly what we see today. We see these scoffers who are scoffing at God's word, rejecting creation, rejecting the flood. They reject the word of God. They reject the coming judgment. They reject the gospel. And when you read a description of the people in Noah's day, it sure sounds like a description of the people today. And God had Noah build that ark and said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It stood as a sign to the pre-flood world that God is a God who judges wickedness, judges sin, but he's a God who provides salvation. And you know, there's only one door. He told Noah to put that one door in the ark, and God is the one who shut that door. I think it's interesting that God has raised up this ark at this time in history when we see such rebellion in our culture, and we have a message for the world. God is going to judge. In fact, I believe America is under judgment. You know, when you read Romans 1, the sign that God is judging a culture, turning over a culture, withdrawing the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, is the sign of homosexual behavior, people worshiping the creature rather than the creator, which is exactly what we see happening. When you have 58 million children murdered in their mother's wombs, which makes what Hitler did at the Holocaust pale in comparison, God is going to be doing something in this culture, and I believe he is. But when God judges, he provides a message of salvation. And what a message the ark is. It's a warning that God judges sin, and he's going to judge what this nation is doing. But he's providing a message of salvation that people know need to go through the door of the ark. And in fact, we have a series of exhibits on the third deck of the ark that challenge people about the door. We talk about the door to the sheepfold, the door to the tomb that was open. We talk about the door to Noah's ark and that Jesus is the door. And we challenge people that they need to go through that door to be saved. And that's really what it's all about. It's really all about reminding people of the truth of God's word. The Bible is true. The history in the Bible is true. That's why the gospel based in that history is true.
Mm. Ken, talk a little bit about what it will be like to enter into the Ark exhibits. Is it an all-day affair? What sort of exhibits will folks see?
We encourage people to set aside a whole day for the Ark as they would set aside a whole day for the Creation Museum. When you walk inside the Ark, you walk onto the first deck. And then on each of the decks, deck one, deck two, deck three, there are ramps built inside. It's quite an engineering marvel when you see it, an architectural marvel. You'll actually be able to see right down the center of the ark. Actually, the ark itself, the outside and the inside, they're both exhibits because it helps people understand that, hey, Noah wasn't some primitive brute and some evolutionary, you know, progression and less intelligent than us. Obviously, they were highly intelligent, highly skilled to build something like this. And, of course, the Bible makes that clear concerning, you know, even people back towards creation who were making things of bronze and iron and making musical instruments. People have this wrong idea of history, thinking people before us are brutes and not as intelligent as us. So even the ark speaks to that. And then as you walk in around the sides of the ark on each deck, there are exhibit bays. There's 132 exhibit bays, and we have sculptors, artists, fabricators who are working at a design studio. You'll go in and you'll see life-size figures of Noah and his family on each of the decks. We'll have a series of exhibits how Noah could fit the animals on board, all about kinds versus species. There are sculpted animals that look so real. They'll look different to today's animals. But you'll recognize the dog kind. You just won't recognize that that believes it's exactly today because we have species today developed from the kind. So we'll explain all that and that's not evolution, of course. We're going to show how Noah could feed the animals, how he could take their waste away. We're going to have working cages like that. We're not going to have live animals in the cages, but they're going to be working cages to show you how that happened. We're going to have dioramas about the Tower of Babel, about the Ice Age. We have exhibits even on the third floor, where we have some exhibits on loan to us by the Green family from Hobby Lobby, who are building the big Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., and they're loaning us some artifacts to have a mini museum of the Bible up there. Lots of other just intriguing exhibits that are world-class, hundreds and hundreds of artifacts that we've made and have experts that are making them, and all the cages. People are just going to stand in amazement outside the ark at the structure. Then they're going to go inside and stand in amazement at the wooden structure, the massive beam, because we have an Amish crew of craftsmen that are putting that together. Not everyone can build a timber frame structure like this. And when you look at people on the top of the ark, when we've been up there and we photographed them, they look like little ants compared to the structure. And then as you go through and see these exhibits, I think people are going to spend longer in there than we think they are. They're going to go through and look at all this. We have special things for children, even special exhibit areas for children to be able to climb through and that sort of thing as well. It's going to be an amazing place that honors God, honors His Word. And I believe people are going to be challenged concerning the truth of God's word and the gospel.
And Ken, the main difference is that it took Noah 120 years to build his ark. It took you 3 years to put this together.
20 months of construction time, but there's been a few years of architectural work and engineering work that's gone on. It's an incredibly complex structure. And the way we built it, because we designed it as a ship, but it had to be built as a building. So we have to obey all the codes to be able to bring people in. And we wanted to keep the ship as a ship. So it was designed with 3 8-story buildings that it anchors to, that house the restrooms and the elevators and the exit stairs. We're actually permitted to exit 10,000 people at one time. So this is a massive structure. If you put all 3 towers that the ship anchors to, those 3 towers together would be the equivalent of 1 large 7-story hotel, like a Hampton Inn or something like that. And so we have these 3 structures at anchors to. Then outside, we're going to have a large petting zoo. We have a petting zoo at the Creation Museum. We have a petting zoo there about 10 times the size. We have an animal specialist that's come on board that's going to do some special live animal programs. We're building a theater as well, where we can do all sorts of programs and show videos. And we're going to have a 2,100-seat restaurant. And as soon as the ark's open, we're going to start on phase 2, which is a walled city. And then phase 3, the Tower of Babel. phase 4, a first century village. We have 800 acres there.
Wow.
And so this is going to become a major Christian attraction.
What a blessing for hundreds of thousands of families across America, Christian families, and a huge evangelistic outreach to the entire world, as I'm sure people from every nation around the world will eventually make its way to the Ark exhibit in Kentucky near Cincinnati. And again, we will be putting a conference, we call it the Noah Conference, on in August, shortly after the museum or the new Ark exhibit opens. And Ken Hamp, Answers in Genesis, is with me today on this edition of the program. And friends, they could still use resources to help with this project. Please help them out if you can. This is a great vision, and I think Christians around the world should get behind this project. It's a project that speaks to the entire world, a prophetic message, a biblical message, a powerful message. So get behind the project if you can, AIG.org, AnswersInGenesis.org on the web for more info. Ken, thanks again for joining us on Generations Today.
Hey, thank you.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leiden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.